4. The Lock, Lock Island, The Throat, Kingdom of Old Karas.
So, how bad is it this time?
High Admiral Brian Lock Island, the Earl of Lock Island, asked in less than cheerful tones. At the moment, he stood on an iron balcony bolted to the face of the tallest tower in the city fortress known simply as the Lock. Despite the fact that it was a wealthy city, as well as the Kingdom of Old Karas's most important single naval base, and that it stood on Lock Island, the critically important island which constituted his entire earldom, he'd always thought that was a particularly unimaginative name for a city. Oh, it was descriptive enough, since it sat squarely in the center of the throat, the only avenue by which any invader could reach Howl Bay, the true heart and vital center of Old Karas. As long as Karas held the Lock, its control of Howl Bay was absolute. Lose the Lock, or let someone force it open, and Old Karas lay open and vulnerable. As he gazed out across the waters of the throat, sparkling and flurried with whitecaps in the late morning light, he was unusually well aware of both the value and the vulnerabilities of the Lock. Over the centuries, Old Karas had poured a fortune into fortifying the Lock and the two fortresses, known as the Keys on either shore of the throat. Yet for all the care and expense lavished upon stone and catapults and then cannon, the fortress's real purpose had been only to free up the kingdom's true defenses. The fortifications had been the kingdom's shield. The navy had been its sword. The fortress of Karas is the wooden walls of her fleet. Old King John II had said that better than 150 years ago. At the time, it had been more boast than fact, of course. The Royal Carisian Navy of John II's time had been just beginning its rise to prominence. But he'd known precisely what he had in mind, and he and his inheritors had worked steadily ever since to raise Safeholdian sea power to a pinnacle no one else could challenge. And as long as the fleet stood watch on her coasts, Old Karas was a fortress in her own right. This fortress made by God himself, this Karas, as John II had also said, Lock Island thought. The Earl had always been quietly amused by the number of fortresses the old king had apparently envisioned, but that didn't mean the old codger hadn't had a perfect grasp of the strategic realities of the kingdom his dynasty had still been in the process of building. In Lock Island's opinion, it was John II who'd truly created the concept of Carisians as Carisians, their sense of identity with one another, which extended throughout the entire huge island.
I wonder what he'd make of our current situation, the High Admiral thought mordantly, and turned his back on the sunlit seawater.
He leaned back, propping his spine against the balcony's waist-high railing, and reaching back to grasp the railing with both hands as he braced himself and faced his three guests. Regis Yowance, the Earl of Grey Harbor, was a small, dapper man. He was considerably shorter than Lock Island and built more for speed and wiry endurance than brute power. Always immaculately groomed and always at the height of fashion, some particularly unwary souls had written him off as a fop. People had a tendency not to make that mistake twice, however. Lock Island was willing to concede that there probably was at least a trace of foppishness in the Earl's makeup. But although Grey Harbor was getting on in years now, he'd been a king's officer and a good one in his younger days. He was also probably one of the two or three best first counselors the Kingdom of Old Karas had ever boasted, as well as directly related to Emperor Caleb, and for that matter to Brian Lock Island, by marriage. Sir Dominic Stainair, the Baron of Rockpoint, on the other hand, would never be mistaken by anyone for anything except a naval officer. He strongly favored his older brother, the Archbishop, but he was considerably younger and had quite a reputation with the ladies.
The loss of his leg at the Battle of Darko Sound didn't seem to have slowed him up a bit in that department either, Lock Island thought dryly. And then there was Benjamin Race, Baron Wave Thunder, about as solidly, stolidly, archetypically Carizian as they came. Bald-headed, weathered-looking, plainly, if expensively dressed, deliberately displaying all the breathless flamboyance of a lump of rock. "Well, Benjamin," Lock Island invited now, "how bad is it?"
"Probably about as bad as you think," Wave Thunder replied calmly. "But you know even better than I do that there are no magical shortcuts when it comes to building warships, Brian. They aren't going to suddenly astound us with a completed, fully manned, fully armed, fully trained fleet off East Cape tomorrow."
"I'm sure that's very reassuring," Lock Island said just a bit tartly. "I'm also sure you'll understand, though, that as the man responsible for recommending what to do with the Navy while Caleb and Charlian are away, I do appreciate the occasional update on their progress." The High Admiral, Rockpoint thought, was clearly more anxious than he wanted to appear. It was scarcely unreasonable of him under the circumstances, but it was a sobering sign of just how serious those circumstances were. There were those who mistook Lock Island's habitually cheerful demeanor and fondness for, admittedly, bad practical jokes for buffoonery. Even those who ought to have known better occasionally made the mistake of assuming that someone as staggeringly wealthy as he was simply playing at his naval responsibilities for something to do while the marks rolled in. Lock Island was not a particularly large earldom, but every single ship which passed through the throat paid the Earl of Lock Island a passage fee. It wasn't very high, and no single ship ever really missed it. But an enormous number of ships passed through that waterway every single 5 day, and every one of them put its small contribution into Lock Island's purse. Given that one of the Earl's traditional responsibilities was to see to it that the throat stayed open, and that they'd done the job so well for so long, very few people were inclined to object to the arrangement.